Careful what you promise. Well,
Sunday nights.
Yep, been trying to go through Joshua. It's been a little while since we've looked at Joshua. Been a little bit sidetracked, but I thought it'd be good for tonight to just do something a little bit different than the tulip. And so, please turn for a Bible reading to Joshua chapter 24. And when I started this series, it was last year, probably I think when we were in lockdown. And the very first message was when Moses was about to die and he was handing over the leadership to Joshua. So he was handing that baton over to him. Well, now we get to when Joshua is dying. He's fulfilled his responsibilities, served the Lord in a wonderful way, seen many wonderful things done through his life, and now he's coming to the end of his life. That's how it happens. And you just see someone serving the Lord, then their time comes to an end, and it comes to the next person to take over. And that's basically the theme that we will be having this evening. But we'll have two places of reading, just one verse in Joshua chapter 24, and I'd like to read verse 31, first of all. It says there, Joshua 24, 31, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel." And then if you turn to Judges chapter 2, I'd like to read from verse 8 down to verse 14. Judges chapter 2, verse 8. "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies." Well, let's pray, and then we'll look at God's word. Father in heaven, we thank you that we have this record of your people, your faithful servant Joshua, and other men and women as well. And Lord, we see what comes after. And Lord, as we stop and consider these things this evening, I pray that your spirit will be the one who lifts and exalts you above all, ministers to our heart, and Lord, illuminates us to your will. And Lord, I pray that it will be the Spirit who convicts and encourages and exhorts. Lord, please be at work in us and through us this evening. And I do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as a little bit of an introduction, you know, if we think of our church, and today's probably not the best example because we have quite a number away on holidays or sick. But when you think of the ministries that we have with all the children that come to our church, when you think of youth group and One Way and Sunday school and just all the other younger children that are here in our church, when you think of that, the future is looking good for our church if things continue the way that they have. There's certainly a lot to praise the Lord for when you consider what we have and the various age groups that we have within our church. Yet having said that, you can be very sure that Satan knows just as well as we do that if things continue the way they are, well then the Lord's going to be glorified and he's not going to be happy And so we can be sure that Satan is going to do everything that he possibly can to make sure that doesn't come to pass. And just as determined as he may be to stop the work and the future of this local church, we need to be just as determined to make sure that it's in the best possible state as the next generation rises up as well. You can't just put all the responsibility of the church continuing to honor the Lord and serve him all on the next generation. A part of that responsibility comes to the generation that comes before to lay the foundation and do things correctly so that the next generation has the best possible opportunity to do so. And at the end of the book of Joshua, we see that Joshua served the Lord faithfully. Those who followed Joshua into the promised land, they served the Lord faithfully. Yet we have that terrible thing written that the next generation didn't follow the Lord. They did things completely the opposite to their parents. And that's a scary thing. And in the same way, there's going to come a time when the next generation, and you can decide if you're in this generation or you're in the next generation, right, depending on your age, but there will come a time when the older generation has to hand over to the younger generation, just like Moses did to Joshua. And the last thing we want is that when the baton is handed over to the next one, things go very wrong, where the baton is dropped and never picked up, or whoever's got the baton, they run a completely different direction. And sadly, that's been the sorrow of many older Christian saints who go to church today. For some, they go to church in some beautiful big building, but it's completely empty. There's just old people there, and there's no one coming after them. And sadly, the generation after them dropped the baton and never picked it up, and they have never served the Lord. And that's really sad. For others, the generation picked up the baton, they just ran a different direction. And you have some older Christians who attend faithfully that church that they've put so many hours in, but they have to go there and their soul is grieved all the time as they sit and basically listen to a rock concert continue on, and it's nothing like what they had planned for the future of that local church. And we need to be very frank and clear and understand that the same thing can happen just as easily to us as it has to any other local church where that sort of thing has happened. If God blesses us with a new building, the last thing we want is in 40 years' time, I'm 50, I'll be 90, let's make it 20 years' time, all right? 20 years' time, people of my age, we're all there and there's no young people. It's just us. And everything's dwindled because the next generation never ran. And I certainly will be grieved if I'm turning up there and someone else is the pastor, but it's just a rock concert going on. I will be grieved if that's what our new building turns into. But it can, if we don't do things correctly, or at least make it as easy as possible for the next generation to serve the Lord in a manner that pleases him. And so what I want to do is look at this generation that followed Joshua into the promised land, because there are things that they did right that we need to get right. But there are also things that they did wrong that we need to make sure we don't get wrong. And so there's good and bad examples from this generation who followed Joshua into the promised land. The first thing I want us to notice is that this generation were conquerors. They knew what it was like to see God do great things in and through their life. Their parents didn't. When God told them to go to the promised land, they didn't trust the Lord, and so they didn't, and so God made them wander around in the wilderness with no purpose in life. Yet when it was their chance to go and take the land, and God said, I want you to go in and take the land and trust me, we relearned many messages ago how they went down to the Jordan River, they saw God do a wonderful miracle, they went across there and they went into the promised land and they began to fight and serve the Lord and see God do wonderful things in and through them. They went to war, and with God's help, they defeated the enemies that God wanted them to defeat. And they had battle after battle conquering the Lord. And so they enjoyed great victories through the Lord's enabling. And so this generation, I don't need to give you a verse on that because that's what we've pretty well been looking at for the last year on Sunday night. But this generation was certainly a good example to their children when it comes to serving the Lord. Their children, they themselves didn't have a good example. They had parents who didn't trust the Lord. But if you are an adult here, can I encourage you to be an example to the younger ones of someone who conquers and trusts and serves the Lord in this local church? You know, the children of our church needs to see through their parents and also through other adults that the Christian life is possible. That it's possible. You can have peace from God. You can enjoy victory over sin. It's not meaning that you live a sinless life or not a life without challenges, but regardless of what comes up in your life, you can meet them and you can have victory through them, through the strength of the Lord Jesus. Young ones need to see that from us adults. If they don't see it, they'll probably think there's no chance of ever living the Christian life, so why bother doing it? And so young people need to see it from us. That's our responsibility to them. You know, they need to see that you can actually go to a church and do what God says, or what Jesus wants us to do, and that is love one another as He has loved us. Boy, isn't that the hardest? But we need to show the next generation of children, you know, you can come together with a diversity of backgrounds and interests and opinions, and you can still love one another. We need to show the children that it's possible. Otherwise, they're just going to think, Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. They say they love, but they don't really. And so, the first thing that the next generation here needs to see is the same thing that the generation that came after Joshua's generation and who followed him, and that is that you can have victory through the Lord's strength. You can be a conqueror. The second thing about this generation that is a positive thing is they were people of conviction. They chose to serve the Lord. Now, the most significant time when this happened, if you turn to Joshua 24, verse 24, this was at the end of Joshua's life, and he got them together, and we know that he gathered them together and he said, "Choose today who you're going to serve. As for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord." And it says there in Joshua 24:24, "And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey." That's what they chose to do. They made a choice to serve the Lord and to follow His commandments. I think it's good to note, though, this isn't the first time they decided to do this. You know, the reality is they decided to do that the day when God said to go down to the Jordan River and go into the Promised Land. That day they chose to serve the Lord and obey Him. When they went in, every time they had to go out to battle, there was a decision. Am I scared? Do I don't trust God and I'm staying home? Or do I do what God wants and I go out and fight as He has told me to do? Every time there was a challenge, they had to decide to serve the Lord. And then at the very end, when Joshua was coming to the end of his life, he just wanted them to reaffirm again in their own souls. And so when Joshua gave them the choice, they chose to continue to serve. And so obviously, they had a conviction within them that they were going to serve the Lord Jehovah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they were going to serve Him, they were going to trust Him, despite the many temptations that came. And you know, they were a wonderful example to their children. Their children would have seen their parents trust God and have convictions where they were going to serve the Lord God and Him alone. They weren't running off serving Baal or Ashtaroth. They weren't serving the false gods. They were serving Jehovah. And that's what every young person needs to see in every adult here. If you want to be a good influence on the children of this church, well then you show them that you are someone of conviction, where you're going to serve the Lord God of heaven and your Savior, the Lord Jesus, regardless of the circumstances. Now, my parents were not perfect by any means, but they left me without any doubt that they had chosen to serve the Lord Jesus and Him only. And they would do whatever He would have them to do. I was left without any doubt of that. I couldn't use them, not that it really excuses you, but I could never use them as an excuse. Look at them, they say they're Christians, they don't even serve or do what God wants. Why should I bother? Never would I have been able to use them, because at least they left me with that legacy that they had a conviction they're going to serve the Lord Jesus. This generation did this, and if we want the next generation to continue to follow, that's something that we need to do every week when we turn up, every day if they're in our home, to show them that we want to serve the Lord above everyone else. Do your children see that, if you have children? Well, this generation did that. Not only that, they continued the work after their leader had died. This is important to take note of. In Joshua 24, verse 31, we read this, but I think it's worth reading again. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. All right, that's good. But notice it says, and all the days of the elders. And so remember, Joshua was, him and Caleb were the eldest, they were over 21. Everyone else was younger, you know, younger because all the older ones had died. And so the elders were all younger than Joshua. But Israel served all the days of the elders that overlived or outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that He had done for Israel. And so we know that Joshua had died. Then after Joshua had died, there were elders, and Israel continued to serve the Lord while they were there as well. So once Joshua had died, they continued. This shows me that they had a true conviction of serving the Lord. You know, they weren't just following Joshua. They were actually following the Lord Jehovah. You know, I think this is one of the, you know, if you ask a pastor, what's one of your biggest fears? It is, when I'm not there anymore, will the church continue the way it was, or will it go off a different way? Will people still serve the Lord? When the pastor's away on holidays, do people still do the same because it's the Lord they're really wanting to honor? Or do you think, oh, well, we don't have to bother going Sunday night or doing anything on Wednesday, or we don't have to try much because the pastor's not here? Do you change when the pastor is here or not here? I hope not, because then it's all pointless, because it's the Lord you're meant to be serving and honoring. He's always here. But that's the fear of any good pastor. And I tell you, it's the fear of any good parent as well. What happens when my children leave home? Are they going to continue to serve the Lord, or are they going to go a completely different direction? Are they just doing it while they're under my roof, or are they going to continue to do what's right once they leave? That's every parent or every good parent's fear. And I'm sure Joshua had some fears. But to this generation's credit, they did continue the work after he died. As we said, as the elders, those elders didn't say, well, Joshua's not here anymore, we can just do what we want. Now, if you look at Judges chapter 1, verse 1, have a look what happens after Joshua has passed away. Judges chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And so we see here that after Joshua had died, they didn't sit back and think, well, Joshua's not here now. He can't rouse on us, so let's not bother doing anything else. No, they continued to take the land and get rid of those small pockets that were still left that God said, I want you to get rid of. And so this generation was keen to obey the Lord and continue the work, even after their leader had gone. And so there are a lot of good things about this generation that we should aspire to be like. They were conquerors. They knew what it was like to have victory in the Lord. They had conviction where they were going to obey God and not other gods, false gods. And they continue the work even if someone or their leader wasn't watching. All good qualities. You know, qualities that I sincerely desire to have in my life, and I trust that you want to have in your life. I want to be known as someone, a Christian who is in the promised land. That I am where God wants me to be, and I'm serving the Lord, and I'm fighting the battles, and with His grace, I'm even enjoying and seeing victories. I'm doing what God wants me to be doing, not going off just doing what I want to do. I want to be known as a Christian who is in the promised land. I want to be known as a conqueror who actually sees victory in the Christian life. I want to be someone that has conviction, where I want to do what's right even when no one's watching. And I know I don't get that right all the time by any means, but that's what I desire. But I certainly know that even though my parents aren't watching, I'm still choosing to do what God wants. I want to be known as someone that continues the work regardless. And you know, I know most of you well enough to say that I think that that is the genuine desire of most here. I say most because I don't know everyone that intently, but intimately, but I do believe that is the desire. You know, a lot of you could have been like your family, but you chose to do what God wants. A lot of you had friends that went a different direction and you let them go and you chose to go the way that the Lord wants. And I do believe that's the reason why we have a local church where it is a blessing to come and it's exciting to see God at work and we see God do things in and through us. And that's why I don't want to be anywhere else. But just like anything that's good, it can all fall apart very quickly if you don't get things right. And you know, sadly for this generation that went into the promised land with Joshua, there was one thing in particular they did wrong. And it messed up everything for the generation that came after them. And it was seen in two ways, but basically they let the enemy live in the promised land. And it messed everything up. They did it in two ways. The first way they did it was through compromising with the enemy. Let me give you one example of this. You could probably look at a few, but in Joshua chapter 1, verse 23. Sorry, Judges chapter 1, verse 23. 23 to 26. It says, and the house of Joseph sent to descry Bethel. Now the name of the city before was Luz. And the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy. And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, that they let go, but they let go the man and all his family. And the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. So let me give you the picture here. They go up, try and destroy a city, see a man coming out, and they have this great idea. Hey, buddy, just tell us the secret way to get in, and if you do, we'll make a covenant with you and we will let you and your family live. We won't kill you. We'll just do everybody else. Now, this is all pretty bloodthirsty stuff, and thankfully God doesn't want us to do all this now, but there are real genuine reasons for this. But why God wanted the children of Israel to do this. This was their judgment for rejecting him. But they thought, we just let one live and his family and we get everyone else. But this was in direct disobedience to God. God said to utterly destroy them and don't make any covenant with them. Yet we see that they made a covenant with this man and his family. You know, God said, don't show mercy. Yet they showed mercy to this man. And really, the real problem was, even though the Lord was with them, they thought they needed the help of the enemy in order to take the city, when all they really needed was the Lord. Some bright spark came up with the idea, we'll let this guy live and he can tell us the secrets. When they should have gone to the Lord and said, Lord, how do you want us to take this city? They didn't need the help of the enemy to do what God wanted them to be doing. And we know that this man lived and his family, he went and he built a city, and that city became a big city, and it did cause problems for the children of Israel in the next generation. This was a big mistake. Just let a few live to get everybody else. And brethren, this is one of the biggest downfall of churches today. They think they need the world in order to win the world. And it just seems to be a common thing today. They don't think that God can do it on his own. And so they think that we need to let just a little bit of the world live, or let a little bit of the world into our church so that we can draw the world into our church and then we can win them to the Lord. And that's why you do have churches that resemble a nightclub or a rock concert. And that's why when they get up to preach, they don't preach against sin, because they certainly don't want anyone to leave, because they probably need their money in the process. And that's why you get young people who just live a compromised life and they don't even seek to pursue holiness in their life because they don't even know what it's like. Then the enemy takes up residence within the church, brings in its family, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and that next generation just grows up with them in the church, and it doesn't seem scary anymore. You know, there was a time, and I can say that was my parents' time, when they preached on holiness like that was the most important. Now, I don't say there's are most important apart from the gospel. But I tell you, for the Christian life, God talks about the holiness of believers. And they would preach on that. Yet you don't hear it talked about today. When, what is holiness? How can we be holy? How can we show that we are different to the world? And so on. The biggest mistake that we can do in here in our church is for us adults to start compromising with the world, the flesh, and the devil. In our homes, and also in our church services. You know, there was a time when the average Christian believed, like this is just the average Christian. The average Christian believed that it was wrong to drink alcohol, that it was wrong for a Christian to smoke, that it was wrong for a Christian to listen to rock music. It was wrong for men, Christian men, to have earrings and Christian women to wear short skirts and for Christians to have tattoos. You know, these were just basic things. This wasn't like, ooh, I wonder if a Christian should. There was a time when this was just the black and white, easy stuff. Especially for our Western culture. It wasn't extreme, it was just normal. But the average Christian today, most of them think those things are okay. Something has changed. I'm telling you, the world, the flesh, and the devil has been creeping in. And I suggest that it was their parents that allowed things to come in as a compromise to just try and keep a few people happy, and then their children grow up seeing these things as though they were nothing to fear. I wonder, are there things that your parents wouldn't have anything to do with, but you happily do it? If so, if that is the case, what do you think your children are happily going to do? If there are things that your parents would have nothing to do with, but you're happy to do it, what do you think the next step is going to be for the next generation? They're not going to just be happy doing what you do. They're going to go even further again. That's how the world, the flesh and the devil works, and how the flesh of man works. We need to be very careful when we choose to move the ancient landmarks. Those men and women of God who were truly godly and loved the Lord so much, they made stands, they had standards for a reason. And we need to be very sure it's okay to move them before we start moving them. Otherwise, I tell you, our church will just be just as worldly as the local nightclub down the street. These people got it wrong. They thought that man could be okay, just let a little live, and we'll get all this. It didn't work that way. It grew, and it became a snare to that next generation. You know, not only that, it says in Judges chapter 2 that they compromised in that they grew content. Once the elders had died, and the next generation, well, I don't know where it happened, maybe it was the elders, but in Judges 2 we read how that the people grew content. Manasseh didn't want to drive out the inhabitants of their land. Ephraim didn't want to do the same. Asher and Naphtali didn't. And we read in Judges chapter 2, it says there in verses 1 to 3, "And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, 'I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as a thorn in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you.'" You know, these people didn't get rid of the people that were in the land, all those little pockets, and then they made treaties with them and let them live. And they became a snare to them and their children. You know, I wonder if there are things that you know are in your life that should be gone. But you seem to think, I have had a lot of victory. Dear, I have. I'm so different to what I was. And you look at the things that still where God wants you to continue to work, because that life of sanctification doesn't stop till the day you die. But you think to yourself, I think I can just let them live. That's okay. I'm sick of fighting. Now, if you're in your 20s and you're thinking this, shame on you, all right? You need to be doing a lot of fighting. If you're in your 50s, shame on you. They're still fighting. If you're up to 90s, we'll keep fighting. No one's here, but if you get to 90s, keep fighting. But the reality is it continues. But let me ask you this. Are there things in your life that you battle with, but you've decided just let them stay? Well, I'll tell you what, they will become a snare to your children. They will be the snare to your children. You know, it may be alcohol, it may be music, it may be just a fierce temper, it might be greed, it might be bitterness, an unforgiving spirit. The list could go on of various things. But I tell you, if you don't get it out of your life and your children see it, they grow up with it, it doesn't seem that scary, that will become their friend. And they will see nothing wrong with it. And then if you live long enough, you'll wonder why they are so different. It's because you didn't finish the battle. And so if you want to protect the future of your family, of this church. The encouragement is to the adults. Be conquerors. Show people there is a Christian life you can live with victories. Have a conviction to do what God wants and continue the work. And please don't compromise those things that God is convicting you about. And so that's Joshua. We might have one more message left in us yet, but we'll leave it there tonight. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you would not let us be wise in our own conceit, thinking we know better than those who have gone before us. Help us to listen to the wise heads, the elders of this church and the elders who were here before. See the importance of living a life that is holy and pleasing to you. Avoiding and staying away from the worldly, fleshly things, the devilish things as well. That, Father, we may see this church continue to be pleasing in your sight to the day that Jesus comes. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.